Thank you very, very much indeed. I've got a drink, cheers. It's not strong enough, but I've got a drink. So that worship was just brill, wasn't it? So thank you again, Kerry and Mick, but thank you, Jesus, as well. So when we were praying outside, I'm supposed to follow a PowerPoint, but I'm probably going to get a bit lost with this. So when we were outside praying, I just prayed about the curtain of heaven opening. And Jonathan picked up on that and, like I said, asked us a question, didn't he? What do you see when that curtain comes open? And for me, what I saw was God sitting in heaven, and he had this amazing smile on his face, and he had a tear running down his cheek at the same time. And I just have had the fortunate sort of life so far of being able to introduce people to that God and see what a difference he has made to them. That's been in many nations and many different contexts and many different places. And for me, the whole thing that I'm talking about today, social justice, and we'll explain what that is just in a moment, has actually excited me. It hasn't been, like Dave got out his whip just now, didn't he? You know, Dave had a whip in his hand, wasn't it? Like, fill this in, please, yeah? I'm not holding a whip today in my hand. I don't know what I'm holding. But I do know that it's blooming exciting and it's blooming marvellous. And God's a God of opportunity. And he's longing for us just to look into heaven and to see his face and to introduce other people to that face as well. So Dave did a brilliant, brilliant job last week. He's one of my heroes, Dave. He did a brilliant job last week talking about loving our community, and we've been having a whole series of stuff which I've just loved about us living out our faith, because for me that's just one of my passions, and it's not about being here, it's more about being out there for me, and it's just been so fab, the guys doing this series, so thank you for having the insight and the wisdom to do what you've done to take us on that journey the last few weeks. So we looked at loving our community, which was fab, and I want to look at a little bit at social justice. So now I'm going to attempt the technology. Oh, too hard. So I thought, I don't know much, so I go and look things up. I'm a plagiarist and a researcher. All right, that's my sort of background, really. Everything that I say is not original. I've stole it from somebody else. So social justice is the ability people have to realise their potential in the society where they live. It's a cool definition, isn't it? Yeah? And I love seeing people develop and grow and fulfil their potential. So, going a bit off-piste here, and this isn't like a thing about, today isn't about missions and it's not about all that stuff, but I thought it was an opportunity just to think about different places and where we can see people realising their potential. And one of the things that Dave spoke so ably about last week was about connections. So what I wanted to do is, if you've got a particular connection with a nation, or you come from a nation that isn't the UK, would you be prepared just to, you've got to work with me today, all right, is that okay? Prepared to work with me a bit? Would you be prepared to stand up for me? If like you were born somewhere else, not in the UK, there we go, or if you come from somewhere else, yeah? So let's just quickly see where these places are.
America, yeah.
Germany.
Nigeria.
Mexico.
Mexico.
Singapore.
Mexico.
Mexico.
Mexico Echo.
Nigeria.
Ghana.
Ghana.
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Nigeria is a definite theme this morning.
South Africa.
South Africa. I love it.
India.
India.
Holland.
Holland. Nearly won next time.
Australia.
Australia.
India.
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 Oh, India is coming on a run.
India.
India. Oh, Home straight, India. Have we been here? Yes, we have. Thank you.
Kenya.
Kenya. That's a place to pray for. Have I missed somebody in the middle? Thank you. Look at this. Good job I've got my running shoes on today.
South Africa.
Another South Africa. Sorry about the poor South African accent. No. Here we go.
India and Kenya.
India and Kenya.
India.
Oh, India is sort of one.
Germany.
Deutschland.
Kenya.
Kenya. So keep standing, guys. Don't sit down. So can we just pray for these places quickly? Yeah? So if you could stand up and you could huddle around these people, pray that the people in these places, yeah, realize their potential. Yeah? Let's just, we're going to give you 2 or 3 minutes. Go and pray. Move out of your seat. Get to somebody if you can. Or if you want to just sit where you are, just pray where you are for one of those places. But if you get the chance, to stand up and pray. So, Father, we thank you for these nations. We thank you for the connections that we have with these places. We pray that people in these places would reach their potential. And, Father, we pray for what these folk carry who've stood. And we pray for their connection with those nations and reveal to them what they're to do about where they live or where they come from or where is important to them. Thank you, Father, for each one who stands here. We honour you and thank you for being here with us today. You represent other nations, but we thank you for being with us today. That is so special and so important and so significant to each one of us. Amen. Thanks, guys. Wasn't supposed to do that, but hey, for me, Jesus is such an amazing example, and if I want to look for somebody's words in the Bible, I like my Bible because it's probably not completely accurate, but anything that he's supposedly said, they've got sort of covered in red. So I quite like looking at the red bits and seeing what it is he said. And I particularly like it when it's like at the beginning of his ministry or when it's at the end. Because to me, like at the beginning, like it's setting the course, isn't it? And at the end, it's like final words. And I'm just so encouraged by this passage in the book of Matthew. And I just want to read just one little bit of it. So if you're following, it's Matthew 5, as it says up there, verses 3 to 10. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn. They will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. They'll inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. They will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, they'll see God. God blesses those who work for peace, they'll be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Amazing words. Just keep those in mind. It's interesting for me how Jesus picks out the poor, those who mourn, those who carry humility, those who hunger for justice, those who are merciful, those who are pure, those who bring peace, and those who are persecuted for what they do. Interesting he focuses on that group of people. Would you like to be counted amongst that list? You can stick up your hand if you think you would. I would like to be counted amongst that list. But that's not like the easiest list in the world that I've seen. Yeah? It's not God blesses those who have big houses, who are proud of what they've done, who are quick to judge and slow to bless. Those people aren't on the list. It's these sorts of people who are on the list. So let's reflect and think about, well, what does that mean for me? Dave spoke brilliantly last week on stuff in the community, and he spoke about time and saying, you know, the challenge is we're like time poor, aren't we? Or we think we are. So when I'm entering into this territory and I'm beginning to talk to you about this stuff, I want to excite you with the opportunities that exist. All right? It's not about getting out my whip and saying, you need to sort your life out, you need to do this, this, and this. I want to excite you with the opportunities that are already there. I think we demonstrated that by just getting people who are here amongst us and praying for those nations. They're just, it's all here. Those connections are here. In terms of time, I was so challenged by what Andrew and Linda Southwood did with their kids as they were growing up. They took their kids to the slums of India. And they would make a difference in those slums. So they'd go for their main summer holiday, and they'd take the boys to Mayapuri slum. And I've been there, and it's not the greatest place on earth. So they went to Mayapuri, and they made a difference to those people in that community for a week. And then for another week, I think they went on the beach in Goa or somewhere like that. Yeah? Interesting, isn't it? Use of time. Sabbaticals now, in terms of employment, are seen as being really powerful and good things to have on your CV. How many people here have taken a sabbatical from work? Yeah? I think, cool. I think there could be more of us who should be thinking about that in the context of what does God want me to do? How many people here work like part-time, not full-time? Yeah? Interesting. And why are you working part-time, Heike? What are the other things that you do outside of your part-time work?
Well, I'm a mum, and work-life balance is really important. So I spend time with my daughter, and I work. Sarah just said I work full-time because I'm a mum. So the days I'm not at work, I work as a mum.
So she's giving herself to her family. I think that's really cool and really important. And I know also the other thing she didn't mention is the MenCap stuff that she does as well. So there's other stuff that we can do with the time that we have. I work 9 days out of 10, and the other day that I've got, I try to give to mission and to nations and to other things that I'm passionate about. So really, I just wanted to make you think about your time that you don't have, and maybe think a bit more creatively and think, hey, there's an opportunity here to do something different. I look forward to my every other Friday because I just know it's so different. I'm going to be doing things that challenge me, inspire me, and take me out of where I am in Oxford or London to somewhere else. So just a thought, just to sow in your seeds, just to excite you. Hey, what could I do with my time? And maybe you want to take a couple of weeks of your holiday and go somewhere else to serve somebody else, maybe in your community, like Dave said, or maybe a bit further afield. We're just back from Mozambique, and we've had an amazing 2 weeks in Mozambique that has just been the best ever trip that we've had. And it's just such fun and so exciting. And like one of my friends flies me on a small 6-seater plane down the coast of Mozambique on the way home because we just found out he was going to be flying over and could take us back. So he landed in our small town of Angosh and picked us up and flew us home. And I'm just sitting in that plane thinking, God, you're just so good. This is just so fab. Here I'm in the front seat of this aircraft. Annie does not like flying at all, but even Annie enjoyed it. Yeah, looking out the window, going down. Isn't God good? Isn't it fun? We always talk about like the challenge and the cost of doing this stuff, but some of it's blooming good fun. Is it about the money? Just keep thinking about that one. I'm not going to say too much more about that just at this stage. The only thought I wanted really to share was this, really. And Annie pointed this out to me. She's quite good. Annie sort of tells me what I should be speaking about. Do any of the other wives do that for their husbands? It's very, very helpful, actually, guys. You know, if we actually listen to them, it's quite crying does make it a bit better, really. So just listen a bit more carefully. So she said, just make sure people realize it's not about the money. It's not about having, like, sympathy, you know, and thinking, oh dear, we've got lots, they've got nothing, we better help them. It's actually not about that. And I'll come on to that a bit later on. It's easy to think about it that way for us, I think. I think in terms of the money, it's not about how much things cost, but the value of what we give. It's about value, not cost. No connections. We all stood up and we prayed for all sorts of different places. Let me just share one story with you just at this point, and I want to reference Olu here. So Olu's from Nigeria, and Olu's from a particular village and community in Nigeria, and the challenges there are massive. And his uncle has helped in the past to try and do things in terms of education and make a difference in that community, and the money has just been washed away, yeah, and hasn't had any real effect. And Olu's heart is for that place and that community. And his challenge currently is, what does he do as being perceived of as one of the leaders, one of the significant people from that community? How does he re-engage with those folk? What does he do? How does he make a difference back in that village in Nigeria? So it's not all straightforward. It's not all easy. And I want us to think about how we could connect with and pray for people like Olu and that village, and ask him some questions. If you want to know what's going on in Afghanistan at the moment in terms of the elections, ask Robin Vickers. I had a fascinating 5-minute chat with him last Sunday about the elections and what's going on and the corruption and the challenges that are happening in those places. Why don't we just ask one another a bit more about this stuff and find out a bit more? We're so quick to tell one another, I'm doing this, 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 and this. How about if we ask one another a few more questions? I'm just going to skip the next slide. Lesotho is a place that's incredibly close to my heart. Annie and I lived there for 2 years. And it was my learning ground. And it was the first time that I properly recognized that God had given me compassion for other people from other places, other cultures, other communities. And when I first went there, I was, see what Nelson Mandela is wearing there? He's got his Basutu hat and his Basutu blanket. They presented me with that, exactly that hat and that blanket, not the one he's wearing, but, you know, exactly that one. And we were there in 94 when there was a change in South Africa from the previous years and the previous season of apartheid to a new regime and the Rainbow Nation. There was so much fear in that place when we were there, but it was an exciting time as well. And for me, it was an amazing time to be in that nation. And Nelson came to Lesotho, and this is some of the stuff that he said when he was in Lesotho. Lesotho being the small nation in the middle of South Africa, up in the mountains. There's no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one you're capable of living. To me, that's all about social justice. I want to excite us about the capability that we have. We don't realize what we have and what God's given us and what potential we've got. We can explore that through things like Ignite, and we can explore it for ourselves. There's a link here. This is a very good segue I'm doing here. You'll be very pleased with me, Kerry and Jonathan. So we've been doing like the living out our faith in the workplace. And what's coming next?
No idea.
Holy Spirit.
No idea, Holy Spirit. That's an interesting subject. No. The next series that we're doing is on the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Sorry, I'll be more specific. I need to remember I'm talking to a legal person. So... But you will receive power. Can you say it with me? Power. A bit louder. Power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Who here has had any experience of receiving the Holy Spirit in their lives? Yeah? Cool. Anybody had a sense of God's power when that happened? Yes, a few more hands going up. Cool. A bit more of it, please, God. Yeah? So what we want is a bit more of it over the next few weeks. So if you want a bit more of that power over the next few weeks, put your hand up. Now, yeah, very good. You're very well behaved, aren't you? You will be my, I love this word, witnesses. So I'm a witness at work. Yeah? I'm a witness wherever I go. I don't like calling myself a Christian because I do a lot of stuff in Muslim contexts. And if you use the word Christian, that's a bad word to use. Yeah. So I like to call myself, when I'm in Mozambique, a follower of Isa, a follower of Jesus. Yeah. So let's call ourselves followers of Jesus for a bit. When we did some youth alpha, one of the girls in the group was struggling and saying it's just so difficult being called a Christian. It's just people just at school, they criticize me and they misunderstand what it is and they sort of think of it in a certain way. And we looked at, well, actually, is follower of Jesus a better way of looking at it? And she said, oh, no, that's quite cool. I like that. Yeah, that's quite powerful. Telling people about me everywhere. So Jerusalem, that's where they were. Judea, just round the corner. Samaria, who remembers the significance of Samaria from last week? Yeah? What was the significance?
So it was where the Samaritans had lots of different ways of doing things, so the Jews really didn't like them and wouldn't talk to them or anything.
So it's like the no-go place. Yeah? No-go place. So he's saying, go to the no-go place. I'm not going to tell you where your no-go place is, but I'd like you to ask yourself the question, where is that? And to the ends of the earth, so you can go to the ends of the earth. So my questions that I've got for you this morning are, where are those places? Yeah? Where are they? Where is your Jerusalem? Well, that's easy, isn't it? Where's your Judea? Maybe it's Larchfield, because that's only around the corner. Where's your Samaria? I started a project in the London Borough of Tower Hamlets and I took some time out because I recognise that because I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm going to influence places where I go and God's going to do things in those places and I need to see what's happening in those places. So I walked around Tower Hamlets all morning and in fact a bit too long. But I mean, if my boss had known what I was doing, I don't know what he'd have thought about it, but I just thought, I'm just going to do that anyway. I want to get a sense of where I'm working and what's going on in this community and what's happening. It began to snow. And there were guys who were pushing shopping trolleys. And in these shopping trolleys were scrap. And they had bits of old fans. One guy had, believe it or not, in his shopping trolley, a radiator. That's quite good going, isn't it? Yeah, radiator. And it was like one of the coldest days of winter. They had no winter coats, they had no gloves, they just had like thin tracksuit shell bottoms and t-shirts, and their skin was, it all gone wrong, you know, it was, had great big red marks on it and white marks and all the rest of it. They just looked so unhealthy and so sad, and they were just scavenging everywhere just to get some money together to take it to the scrap place to sell it to get something. That's London Borough of Tower Hamlets. That is like an hour and a half journey from Maidenhead, catch the tube and into London. So as I walked, I prayed, and I just prayed about that community. And I want to encourage us to recognize that prayer is not like a second best. Yeah, but it's a really, really cool thing to do, an important thing for us to do in these communities. So why not go and pray? So, lovely story, Jesus sending people out. Were these 72 really expert, do you think? No? No? Some of these guys were about to make, in not too long after this, probably what we could consider to be the biggest mistake of their lives by denying that they even knew Jesus and who he was. So it's those people who he sent out, and look at how he sent them out. And I'm not talking now about going out to far off places in the world. Just think about that previous question I asked you. But Jesus is saying, more workers are needed. It's going to be challenging. It's like lamb amongst wolves. This is very countercultural for us, isn't it? Take no money. What? Yeah? Take no money. You've got to have money. Yeah? Spare clothes or sandals, so don't even take your suitcase with you. Don't stop to greet people on the road. What's that about? I sort of thought, well, maybe it just is saying they need to be focused about what they're doing. Colin's nodding, so maybe I've got that right. Good nod from Colin, and he was scratching his beard, so definitely right. Looking for the man of peace. This is a really, really top tip in terms of the whole social justice agenda. Look where you make the connection. Look where you feel connected. Yeah, introduce yourself and try and speak a bit of that person's language or something if you're really, really ambitious. But hey, here's one other cool thing. So I go to Mozambique, and to go to Mozambique, I've got to learn Portuguese. Now, agora eu falo português muito mal, which means now I speak Portuguese really bad. Yeah, but I sort of speak it enough for Portuguese people to smile at me kindly. Yeah. And speak to me back in English. But sometimes, actually, they do speak back to me in Portuguese. So I've just started a little job down in Littlehampton doing a leisure centre down there. And I discover all of a sudden that there's a whole Portuguese community in Littlehampton. And the first, I love my, wherever I have a meeting, I have to find a latte. I just have to have that to get the brain going. So I spot this little cafe, and it's like Portuguese cafe. And I go in there, and I start speaking Portuguese to these the couple who run this little cafe, and the smile on their face, and they're saying, how extraordinary, an English person who speaks Portuguese. Yeah, really, really cool. Badly, but good. But then, here's the better bit, I'm going to have to finish it now. So then I go to Transport for London, and we're being asked to do some leadership development for the senior management team for a £40 billion project for Transport for London. And the secretary to the top guy, her husband is Brazilian and she speaks fluent Portuguese, and I recognise it as being a Portuguese surname, so I introduce myself in Portuguese to her. Yeah? And she goes, whoa, and we start sort of speaking about it, and she said, Julian, it's so good to speak to somebody, an English person who's got such a good Portuguese accent. And Annie was really shocked. She couldn't believe it. Hey, but isn't it interesting? A little bit of business advantage from having done what I've done. Isn't God good? Yeah? Just making a little connection for me. So, find the person of peace. So I like found the person of peace in her using the bit of language that I've got. That's quite fun, isn't it? And we loved it. And so each time I speak with her now, I try a little bit more. Dangerous territory now, I'm running out of vocabulary. So, accept hospitality. We are really seriously bad at accepting hospitality. Yeah? Because we're so wired that we're more wealthy than you. We've got more than you. Yeah, we need to give to you. You don't need to give to us. Yeah? But these people that we're talking about, and I'm not talking about people miles and miles away. I'm talking about people in Larchfield who may want to invite you in for a cup of tea. Yeah? No, I couldn't do that. I'm here to help you. Yeah? Not particularly good, is it? So accept hospitality. Heal the sick. Prayer. Friend of mine called Rachel, who works in a hospice in Leatherhead, and it's a hospice obviously where people are dying, and she's 25, and she's been to Mozambique with us once. On this last trip she was there with us, and she stayed on a bit longer. Lots of different stories. Nearly drowned in a boating accident. The ship capsized and they nearly all drowned. I won't tell you that story. That's not the exciting story. The other one was, there was a girl of 17 who had swallowed something and it got stuck in her throat, and she had a great big growth that got infected all across here. She couldn't swallow, she couldn't speak, her tongue had become like this. Her parents kept saying to her, go to the witch doctor, go to the witch doctor, go to the witch doctor. She's going, no, find the followers of Jesus, find them, get them to come. They said, no, go to the witch doctor. After a few days of this, they called the followers of Jesus in, and Rachel looked at her and said, this is really, really serious. We've got to take her to hospital. Took her into the hospital. spoke to the doctor. The doctor's first thing said, oh, she needs to eat something. Rachel said, don't be stupid. She can't eat anything at all. Look at her. You know, there's no way she can swallow anything at all. And so the doctor said, okay, we'll get a drip and we'll get some other things organized. And said, Rachel thought, okay, that's good. Rachel left and went down to a meeting that the church were having. Got down to the meeting and the guys in the meeting said, no, Rachel, you need to go back because as soon as you go, they won't look after her. So Rachel, sensible thing, yeah, went back with a small group of people from the church, yeah, came back. And Rachel said to me, this girl was on the point of death. Absolutely. And she knows it because she's seen it. She's worked in a hospice. There wasn't any medicine or anything else that they could give her. And the girl's face conveyed the fact that she knew that she was on the point of death. There was tremendous fear in her eyes. So Rachel said, there's nothing else that we can do. We have to pray for her. 15 minutes later, the swelling has gone down and the girl saying, could I eat something, please? I share that story because Rachel is a very down-to-earth, lovely lady who lives in Leatherhead, who works in a hospice, who takes a few weeks out to go to Mozambique. And she finds herself there in a real predicament, and she prays, and God turns up. And she tells that story, and there's a lovely photo of her with that girl afterwards. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that powerful? So why don't we put ourselves in more of those sorts of situations? Yeah? Not necessarily in some hospital in Mozambique with a girl who's about to die, but something that just challenges us and gets us think about what can I do here, what difference can I make. So we've spoken about time. It's Ramadan at the moment, yeah? So how about praying for Muslims? I think there's a prayer meeting that's going on, isn't there? 24th of July, is it? So why not do that? Anybody know what Eid is? What's Eid? Tell me what Eid is. Okay, so the end of Ramadan when they have this party and celebrate, yeah? So what we did in Mozambique, we had our own Eid party, yeah? And we call it an Eid party, and we celebrated, but we celebrated Jesus. And the Muslims are quite happy for us to celebrate, and we're celebrating alongside them. We're all having a big party. Isn't that cool? Yeah? Why not party? I'm going to need to finish, but let me just finish with this. Talsamo and Jose, two young men. Talsamo on the left, his dad had three mosques, yeah? And he ran them, and Talsamo is now a follower of Jesus. Guy on sitting next to him is Jose. Jose, I taught him how to speak English in a rubbish sort of way because I'm not really a very good teacher. But he went and did it better in Zimbabwe and now he speaks really good English. Okay? When we went there on this last trip, he's a young man who's an orphan and being oppressed, and he would always, even having become a follower of Jesus, always be looking down at you, wouldn't look up at you. And the guys before we went said, Julian, you need to have a chat with him and see if you can't sort him out. And I'm thinking, what do I do with that? Yeah? So we drive all the way down to Angosh 4 hours and I just don't know what to say to him. And he's driving and the driving is frightening. But we get there, but in the context of a meeting where I've been talking and he's been helping me do the work in terms of marriage course, which we're working on. And it's all about communication. We feel, let's pray for him. So he stands next to me. And I say, put my hand on his chest and I say, Jose, just breathe in and out. Just breathe in and out. And as he breathes in and out, and I say, there's something just suddenly happens to him. I say, God is just going to set you free. And all of a sudden, this head came up like that. And since that time of just that one little 3 minutes of praying for Jose, Jose has been a different young man. Isn't that cool? That's what God can do if we could just stand next to the people that we have compassion for, that we care about, express our love towards them, build relationship with them, put our hands on them, pray for them, or do whatever it is that God's asking him to do. There's so much to say on this whole agenda, But I just want to say thank you for listening, and I hope that it's given you an opportunity to think about your lives, how you do it and what you do. Think about, where is my Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into the world? What can I do differently this next week that I didn't do last week? Thank you so much.